Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. If you've listened ever before, you've heard my co-host Naz go on and on about emotional labor and me continue to be perplexed by what it even is. Well, on this week's episode, I'm going to find out.
This is the Jen to Know. I am Naz.
I am Dan.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm actually really excited because you're going to speak to Gemma Hartley. She is the author of Fed Up, Emotional Labor, Women and the Way Forward. And I don't know, I'm just really excited that she's like an expert in this and you're going to finally find out what it is. Because I find I can't explain it to you because it's so obvious to me. Like, you know when something's just insanely obvious and you just have no idea how to explain it? So I kind of feel like...
No, as a man, I'm very good at explaining the remarkably obvious in life. In fact, I think there's a term for that. Maybe you've heard it.
But I am excited you're going to speak to it. And actually, I would love if you could get a definition of emotional labor from her for me.
The first thing I'm going to ask her is, how's it going? The second thing I'm going to ask is, all right, level with me. What is emotional labor?
And can you get her to give you a one sentence explanation that I can use? Because
okay,
I still don't know how to explain it to guys. I'm just like, I don't know, it's like me explaining like the air.
I call the air invisible love dust. Is that not good?
So actually Dan is about to go off and record with her and then we're gonna have a chat afterwards. So I'm quite excited to see your evolution in understanding of what this is. God, that sounds patronizing.
Well, that's okay. Wait a minute. Is the word patronizing, is that gendered?
I don't know.
We should look into that. Anyway.
So let's do a bit of housekeeping. Last week we did a call to action. We asked you to pass the podcast on to one person. Dan asked for two because he's like, aim high and then people will actually pass it on to
one
person.
Yeah, over promise, under deliver.
So yeah, if you like this show, then pass it on to one person because we do really want to get all these conversations happening in society.
We're also starting a bi-weekly newsletter and you can sign up on the contact page of our website to get news and updates and information from the show. You wanted to give a shout out, right?
Yeah, so I was on the Alain Guillot podcast. So he has this really cool podcast. It is about personal finance and money. We had a wicked chat about gender and money. It was super fun. We have linked to it in the show notes, but totally check it out because money is quite gendered. Like, you know, who pays for what? Is it okay for a woman
who's
to earn?
Who's on the front of it?
Exactly. Is it okay for a woman to earn more than her male partner? And also Alain's Colombian and I'm Middle Eastern. So there's a lot of like... fun Middle East, South America banter going on, which is
awesome. So listen to that. And as always, write to us, send questions, especially right now regarding, you know, what you want to know about women, because Sam and Naz, Sam, one of our co-producers, and Naz, the one who's talking to me right now, are going to be doing an all ladies episode coming soon.
We're going to kick you out the room, man.
That's fine.
I've
been kicked out of bigger, cooler rooms than this, sister.
Cool. So write to us. It's thegendernot@gmail.com. Okay, just a quick recap. What do you think emotional labor is?
What do I think it is?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so to me, labor is, you know, work.
Right.
And then emotional labor would be work that is emotionally draining. I have a hard time with it. Like, is it when I am managing someone else's emotions? Is it when I am being the punching bag of someone else's emotions? Is it when I am having emotions for someone else because they are incapable of recognizing their emotions? Is it a combination of these things? It's like such a broad and mysterious concept to me. Like I like when you say it, I never know which of, like, I feel like some of those things are getting close, but I never know which is the one you're talking about at that moment, or if it's a different one, or if I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, because I feel like it's all of those things. I feel like personally I usually use it when I am having to manage someone else's emotions. Hmm. It would be really good to ask Gemma for a good definition, some examples. Like, I feel like I'm still foggy. I intuitively get what it is, but I want to be able to explain it to people better. And also kind of, yeah, like, just how we can deal with it.
Yeah, I'm going to ask her for real world examples. And hopefully she doesn't think I'm an idiot.
Cool. Okay. I will speak to you when you're done.
I'm going to talk to her and then I'll call you back.
It's funny because I've written the book on emotional labor, and yet it's still a little bit difficult to put your finger on exactly what it is because it covers such a broad range of experiences. Every woman that I talk to has a slightly different take on what part of emotional labor is really difficult and really overwhelming for her. And it might be really difficult to put into words at first. So when I'm talking about emotional labor in the book, what I'm really talking about is the way that emotional work that we're doing with people and the mental work that goes along with that compounds and intersects in a very specific way that creates a lot of overwhelm for women. It's everything that we're doing behind the scenes to keep things running smoothly so that no one notices, basically, that we're doing this work. I talk a lot from a place of being a mother and running a household with three kids and a husband. And so the emotional labor that would go into my day-to-day is kind of orchestrating everyone getting out the door on time. It takes a lot of effort, both like mental and emotional, where I am kind of keeping everyone on track and doing so in a way that does not cause any meltdowns. Like, I have to use a certain tone of voice to make sure that when I'm asking either my children or my husband to do something, that it does not come across as nagging or angry, to make sure that they are listening to me. And it's really taxing.
Sure. And a lot of that is managing the fact that other people are going to have an emotional response to how you come off.
Yes, exactly. And men aren't really conditioned in the same way to anticipate the needs and the responses of other people.
So if I'm a guy and I don't notice that's happening, like, why is that a problem in my life?
So I think the biggest problem, especially because this is so exasperated in relationships, is that there's a really big disconnect between you and your partner when one of you is doing all of the emotional labor and the other one does not even understand that that is a job that is being done, that that is labor that is being done, because you're just missing this huge part of your partner's lived experience. And so I think that is, you know, the first part of why it matters and why it is such a big problem. And then beyond that, I think that emotional labor really connects us to our lives in, you know, these very concrete ways. It's a lot of community building, connecting with others, anticipating the needs of others. It involves a lot of empathy. And to not have those skills sort of holds you back from really enjoying, like, the full human experience. So I think there's not only, you know, a lot to be solved within relationships, but a lot to be gained from men for, you know, doing this work and really coming more fully into their lives.
That makes sense. So is the issue, or one of the issues, that men are incapable of carrying their own emotional weight in a relationship? Or is it that women allow themselves to take on too much? Or is it both? Or what do you see as, like, I guess, how do we redistribute?
So it's a really multi-pronged issue, and I think it is both. I think women are really conditioned to take on this work, and there's even that sense of, like, we're doing it all. If we're doing all the emotional labor and doing it all at work, we're kind of, you know, aspiring to that have-it-all woman. And then men, I don't think that men are incapable in any way. Though women will often treat them that way and say, oh, they could never do this. They can't do what I do. And, you know, I really hate it when I hear that, because I'm like, no, you know, your partner is not, a third child for you. It's the person that you're sharing your life with. And I hope you think that you are with a capable adult. And I think the only reason that men don't know how to do this is because we grow up in a culture that doesn't teach them about emotional labor, that sort of holds them at arm's length and says, no, this is women's work. You don't need to look at that. You don't need to worry about that. And I think that's harmful, not only for, you know, women who are taking on all of this work to the point of exhaustion, but for men who aren't experiencing that real closeness to their partner and to their lives.
In like a really simplistic analogy, I mean, I've had teachers and bosses and mentors over the years who if I ask a question to, hey, how do I do this? They go here and they just do it. And then I've had other ones where I go, hey, how do I do this? And they go, I don't know. Let's go find out together. And they kind of like walk me through the work that it takes to know how to do that. So then the next time it comes up, I can do it myself. I think we're talking about that, but with emotions, right? And like, let's be honest, like being that kind of boss or teacher or whatever that goes, here's the answer. Short term, that is a much easier route to go, right? But like long term, we're not actually educating anyone. We're not actually helping anyone grow. And we're creating a system where like nobody's actually learning. And so when we have that attitude of like, they could never do what I do, that's increasing the problem.
Yeah, it absolutely is. When I talk to women, and I understand that response that you just, it's easier in the moment to just take it all on because you already know how to do this work.
Right. I got it. I got this locked in.
Yes. And we do. We have it locked down. We have our systems in place.
Well, that's why we come to you.
Yeah. It's hard to give up that control, and it's hard to, you know, adjust while your partner learns these skills for the first time that you've been doing your whole life. Like it is frustrating to watch, but that's the only way that it's going to change. And especially when we're thinking about, you know, what's this going to look like 10, 20 years down the line? Like, do I really still want to be doing these things for my partner instead of him being able to do them for himself?
Right.
And do I want my children to grow up in a household where they see me, you know, basically infantilizing my husband and saying, oh, you can't do that. Let me do that for you. And it's, you know, I'm at the point where I'm like, why are we doing this anymore?
Right.
That was sort of why I wrote this book. I was like, why are we still doing this?
Right. It's really easy to sit and go, well, you know, the system is continuing to push this. But then when we look at our own day-to-day behaviors, we can go, well, no, you know, by me continuing to take the easy way out and let the woman in my life manage all of these things, and by her continuing to take the easy way out and not, you know, helping me figure this stuff out, we are both actively participating in a system that is like making us unhappy.
So first of all, I'm gonna back that up a little bit, because I'm not really on board for teaching men how to do this stuff. I think it's rather intuitive in a way. And there's a lot that has been written on this subject, not just my book, but there has been a wealth of articles in the last year on emotional labor. And I think part of this is that men really need to step up and take the initiative to learn what emotional labor is and how to do it. That if you have no idea where to start, asking your partner about it is a really good place. And I think by talking about it really regularly, we can start to move forward and better understand each other's experiences.
That was Dan chatting to Gemma Hartley. She's written the book Fed Up, which is about emotional labor.
I'm glad you're back, Naz, because I might be more confused than when I left.
You know, I think in the intro you had three definitions of what you thought emotional labor was.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, I think they were quite good. I was quite impressed. I was like, oh, that's not bad. But I have also been doing a little bit of, I've also been doing a bit of scoping around, trying to find a good definition. And everyone's going to hate me for saying this. I hate to say, I think Wikipedia probably has.
Well, Wikipedia is the best and only source of information on the internet. I don't know why people would be mad at you for that.
Yeah, but because I feel like, oh, Professor so-and-so did this huge study. But anyway, Wikipedia says this. And again, I think I said last time that the term originates from the world of work, but it's broader. Okay, so this is basically the first paragraph from Wikipedia. Emotional labor is the process of managing feelings and expressions to fulfill the emotional requirements of a job. More specifically, workers are expected to regulate their emotions during interactions with customers, co-workers, and superiors. This includes analysis and decision making in terms of the expression of emotion, whether actually felt or not, as well as its opposite, the suppression of emotions that are felt but not expressed. Also, I found another definition. This is from Adam Grant's podcast Work Life. He spoke to Alicia Gradley. She is a psychologist who deals with people at work. She had quite a good explanation. She said, "It's kind of like when you get a gift and you don't really like it and you have to still smile and act nice because otherwise your Aunt Bernadette would be offended. But you have to do that all day long. Not only that, but it's explicitly part of your job. It's tied to your wages and outcomes, and if you don't do it, there are consequences. Like you could lose your job or you could get in trouble. And it's with strangers for the most part." So that's the kind of like origin of the term from the world of work. So it's basically having to be nice and manage people's emotions as part of your job, but it's kind of spilled, it's kind of gone over into relationships as well. So it's sort of like, you know, I thought Gemma's example was good when she talked about having to manage the family at the start of the day, but to be nice and not get angry and, you know, make sure everyone's needs were met.
So I think that's the part that I was confused by, and I think you reading those two has actually cleared things up for me quite a bit. Thank you. End of episode. No, I think so. Okay. So to me, when I heard emotional labor for years now, I assumed that it was doing the emotional work for another person. Like being around a man who does not know how to have emotions, and so you have to carry his emotions.
I think it is that too, and you know what? That's often what I mean.
Right, and see, I'm very good at context cues, and so when I talk to you, that's what I gather, but now what I'm hearing from Gemma, who wrote the book on the subject, and from these two definitions, is that emotional labor is more often, maybe not entirely, but more often, acting?
Yeah. I guess just being nice, having to... Yeah, but the repercussions can be really serious because it's like, if you're not nice during your job, you'll lose your job. Or if you're not always nice with a partner, then you're a bitch and they'll dump you. Or you can have really serious shit happen, like you can be attacked. I think a lot of women being nice to men is really a safety issue.
Totally. I'm oversimplifying it by saying acting so that people don't think you're a bitch. But like, and then, because obviously, first of all, I try not to call women that. But I think the point is it's that, and then it expands outward from there to like whatever degree of repercussion comes from that.
And I'm wondering, it's interesting because what you thought it was in terms of having the emotions that a guy can't have, that is still what I largely regard as emotional labor. Or the other thing is like, if a guy can't handle his emotions, so I don't know, he's moody, he's disrespectful, he's mean, he's angry, all the way up to he's emotionally or physically abusive, I consider emotional labor as having to heal from those behaviors.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I am also wondering about what role women play in combating this problem of emotional labor. And a question I really have, though, is that can you recognize something in another if you can't recognize it in yourself? The reason I say that is because I used to not be good with my feelings. And so a lot of these topics about emotional labor, I never really got. And I only really get this stuff now that I'm better with my emotions, you know? So then I'm just like, a few things. A, do men even notice it's a problem? I don't think they do. B, do they care? See, what's the incentive for men to care? Because as much as as a woman, I want women to take on less emotional labor, I also think it's important to be strategic about these things. And I feel like saying to guys that you need to notice because then you'll feel more fulfilled and your girlfriend will be less pissed off. I don't know if that does it.
Yeah, I don't know if it does either. I mean, now that I'm getting the definition as putting on emotions to not, or to protect everyone around you or whatever. Like, part of me is like, I wonder if those are the women in my life that I just think are super phony.
Yeah, I think it's different from people pleasing, though. Look, you know what? I'm going to ask you straight up. Do you care about emotional labor?
I mean, if it's hurting people, then yes.
Or like,
but I also think it's part of me is just like, I don't see the necessity of it.
Of what?
Of like what we're defining as emotional labor. I don't know why it exists.
Wait, why the? Yeah, but this doesn't. I don't. Hang on. You don't see the necessity of doing emotional labor, or of
correct
you having to bother thinking about women doing it.
Well, I don't know why anyone does anything to please anyone that isn't them.
Because there are consequences for not acting that way.
Right, I understand, but it's very hard for me to, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's very hard for me to imagine those consequences because I just don't see them.
Okay, so the other thing I want to know.
Does that make sense? Do I sound like an asshole?
No, you don't, because I'm also very much like, you know, no, because I'm kind of similar too, but this is a social problem where there are repercussions for not managing other people's feelings as a woman. There are repercussions, you know, you are a bitch, and that isn't just like, you know, a not nice thing to hear. That means you lose your job, you lose your relationships, you are in danger.
Is emotional labor the problem, or is it everything else? Do you know what I mean?
It's that women are expected to always be nice, to always be compassionate, to always be there for people, to do really difficult things and not complain about them, to always, like, you know, be upbeat when they're doing difficult things. You know, like Gemma said, you know, she's got to get everyone out of the house, but ask people to do everything in a nice way and not, you know, tread on anyone's toes.
Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like you're really frustrated and you're bored.
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking, like, well, I do a lot. I see, like, on the other side of the fence, there's a lot of stuff that men do every day that we have to just do because we're men and we don't get to complain about it.
Okay, what's some of that?
Well, like, we have to pack the trunk. When you go on a road trip, like, that's always our job. You know what I mean? Like, I always got to be the one talking to everybody when we go into things. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the one who has to go into the building when we check into a hotel. Like, I have to go talk to people. I have to take care of the shit. If something's wrong, I'm the one who has to make the phone call. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you find that draining?
Sometimes I just want to take a nap. But if there's a noise at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's fucking my job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that there's the assumption that this labor is one-sided. And I don't think that it is. I think that there's plenty of stuff. I think that I could look at my day-to-day life with my interactions with other people, specifically women, and find all sorts of ways in which I have to adjust my emotions and adjust my behaviors to not be seen as, you know, something disruptive to them. And I think that's just part of interacting with other people. And that said, I agree that, like, it's far less physically dangerous for me.
Or emotionally dangerous,
I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time understanding emotional danger because no one's ever, like, destroyed me. If that makes sense.
Okay. No one's been abusive, you mean?
I mean, they have, but it's like, that's their damage, you know?
This conversation is kind of weird because I feel like maybe you're still being dismissive of emotional labor, and that is part of the problem.
I don't mean to be dismissive of it. I just, I genuinely don't fully understand it. And maybe that is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to accept that, but, like, I don't know. Part of me thinks that, like, And this is, you know, we want to have these conversations. So I'm going to go ahead and put myself out here and get yelled at by everyone. Like, part of me is just like, this is called being a human being. Like, we have to deal with other human beings.
Yeah, and I think a lot of men are raised not to deal with other people. I think that's exactly the problem. It's kind of like women are raised to have to consider everyone else. And I do think that is gendered. I really do think it's gendered. It's not like a, you know, this is humans in general thing. That's kind of what makes conversations like this really frustrating, because it's like, yeah. Because it sounds like the problem is being dismissed.
You're clearly frustrated.
Yeah, no, it sounds like the problem is being dismissed, you know.
Well, I mean, so as a man, what do I do to acknowledge it? What do I do to help solve it?
Well, emotional labor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you don't really see the problem, though. That's kind of the problem.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about women are raised to do X, Y, and Z, like, how do we stop raising them that way?
Well, it's a few things. I would say, first of all, and this is on women, to not care so much about hurting other people when it's safe, right? When it's not a situation right. where you're going to get attacked or someone's being abusive or you're going to lose your job. In other situations, for women to not care about hurting people's feelings, especially hurting men's feelings, you know, it's like, do the right thing. That's more important than, you know, being nice and managing other people. And there's this thing of like, you kind of need to let people break, you know? Like, sometimes it's really important to hurt people's feelings or to let them break and have to deal with a situation. I think not caring about this guy is going to get upset, bloody blah. Like, you know, you got to let people break. And that's kind of the only way people really change. Because I'm going to be honest. Okay, and this is weird for me because, like, generally I find you are very empathetic. You're very up for trying to understand a different perspective. Like, I think you're kind of cool in that sense. But this conversation is annoying for me right now because you really don't see it and you're getting defensive. And I'm not blaming you. I wonder if this is part of the problem that guys so don't see this. So that's why I wonder, like, having, you know, trying to teach men how to take on more emotional labor. Is that the solution? Or is it to, like, lay boundaries and not placate men, not cater to them emotionally, not, you know, have to be nice for the sake of it? Maybe that's the solution of how to deal with emotional labor, for women to just stop doing so much of it. And there's a bit where Gemma said that. She said something about writing the book because she was wondering, why are women doing this? Yeah, I'm just wondering that.
See,
because
that's,
I'm trying to have a conversation with you and you're generally reasonable and you're not getting it and I'm getting really pissed off right now. And that's not your fault, but yeah.
Well,
are you upset
right
with
there.
Me? Are you upset
no.
with me?
No, I'm upset with anyone who does anything because they want to fix someone else. I mean, I'm not upset with them, but, like, at the same time, like, so this is a big part of addiction. And a huge part of addiction is what's called codependence and enabling, right? And so the person who has the addiction is never going to figure out A, that they have an addiction, or B, that their life is completely fucked and unmanageable and it cannot get fixed until people stop fucking helping them.
Yeah, let people break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is like exactly what I'm saying, but just in a shittier way. You're saying it better. I'm saying it shittier is what I'm saying.
Yeah, let people break.
Which is just that, yeah, like, okay, so there's this problem. To me, it sounds like a big part of the problem is that women continue to enable men to fucking live like this.
Right.
And so, and so like, I understand there are consequences and I want to be a part of the team that fucking helps make sure that the guys that are pushing those consequences on women who, you know, quote unquote, aren't behaving or whatever. Like, I want to put those dudes down, but at the same time, like, until women stop giving a shit what these assholes think, like, we're never going to get better.
And this is when I get really pissed at women, at situations where a guy is behaving badly, certain women stand up and the others are like, oh, but you know, he had a bad childhood, or like, oh, he's really stressed, or oh, but he's not good with his feelings. And I'm like, you are the problem. This is like the ways in which women uphold patriarchy. You know, all the other women who want to be nice and have good favor, those are the women I get really pissed at, because I'm like, no, you need to let people break. Because there's kind of no incentive to change otherwise. So I'm just feeling like, unless you are in a situation where you're going to lose your job, you know, you're in real danger with a guy. As long as it's relatively safe, like, hurt people's feelings and, you know, like.
Well, what you just said is actually like really profound. And I don't know if you caught the part that I'm finding profound, which is that this is such an ingrained problem that other women don't even realize they're doing it when they're saying, like, he had a bad childhood. The thing is, they're not trying to enable that dude. They, like, this is so ingrained in them that they have to think about other people's feelings before their own and help fix the fucking problem that they don't even realize that they're, like, contributing to. The damaging cycle.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it is. And the funny thing
is, now I get it.
Yeah, and this is the funny thing, because I feel like, you know, standing up to someone is a real sign of self-worth, you know? And it doesn't get seen that way. It's kind of saying to someone, hey, that's not okay. That is kind of a sign
that's
of self-worth.
The boss. You can't talk to him like that.
But I think this is, and I don't want to put everything on women, because like I say, there can be serious consequences to not placating a guy. But I just think there's more of like, yeah, own it. Like, tell someone to, you know, hurt someone's feelings when it's the right thing to do, and own it. And all the other women to not step in and then try and be like, oh, but you know.
Yeah. See, we're on the same page.
And I think that's the only way that guys will have an incentive to have to look at the problem of emotional labor. Because I feel like trying to have an intellectual conversation about it is not going to go there. Because, like, what's in it for a guy? You know, if a lot of guys don't see the problem, what's in it for them, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's taken me, you know, 2 years of knowing you and interviewing the woman who wrote a book about it. And then still not getting it to the point where we got mad at each other for me to start to get it. I don't like, and you like call me out on my bullshit all the time. So I don't know what other guys, I don't know how anyone else is going to get this thing. This is tough. I'm smarter than most people, and this is tough.
So we just talked about emotional labor on this episode of The Gender Knot, and we spoke to Gemma Hartley. I'm Naz.
I'm Dan.
Our co-producers are Sam Baker and Jonathan Blackwell. We'll be back next week.
Bye.